The time is 5:01. The Warwick Finance Committee is now open. May I have a motion for the acceptance of minutes for the meeting held on February 27th?
You missed the sixth.
Move favorable.
I have a motion. Correct. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I'll make a motion for acceptance of the minutes on February 6th.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Abstain.
I'll make a motion for the acceptance of the minutes for January 18th. All those in favor?
Like January 30th?
I don't have January.
Oh, I'm on the consent. My bad. Here we go.
I'm sorry. So I heard a second. Thank you. Is, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 29-23, bid 2024-003, municipal waste agreement. Good evening, Christie. Just please identify your title, name, and department.
Christie Moretti, Public Works Business Manager. Public Works is requesting 56.6 for the municipal waste agreement for a two-year period, July 1, 2023 to June 30th, 2025, in the amount of $3.2 million. And this is the tipping fees that we pay when we dispose of the residential waste at the landfill.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of this committee?
No.
Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Director. Just, I mention this every single time with the tipping fees. This is something that we have to pay. We have no control over, correct?
It is. By state law, we have to dump our refuse at the landfill, and they set the cost per ton.
And they raised it again this year?
They did. This coming contract, it'll be an additional $4.50 per ton to $58.50.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Christie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I know during the pandemic and when we had a shortage on trucks, we started to advise people that they could just put out their trash without putting recycling. Has there been any impact to rejected loads or mixed loads or whatever they call them since we started that policy?
No, it's been pretty even keeled, maybe actually a little bit better. I haven't seen a whole lot of, you get the emails for rejected loads, and I haven't seen a whole lot of them in the last few months, maybe one or two. So that aspect is certainly better.
Okay, good. And are we doing any of the transfer station activity right now, or is that pending?
That is still under review. Oh, you mean the one on Jefferson Boulevard?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we only did that for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then we stopped, so.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Christie.
Hi.
So I understand about, you know, the increase in the tipping fees. I just recently received notice from my dumpster company as well. The questions I have is on page six. It speaks to page six of the information that I assume you provided to us. It talks about an MRF profit share. Does the city participate in that profit share?
There's only a profit share when there's a profit to be shared. None of the municipalities have seen that in the last few years. However, we did get one this year. I went to a meeting, I believe, I want to say it was in August, maybe. It was about $4,300.
So the answer is if there is a profit share, then we also benefit by that?
Correct.
And in the same item, 11, agreement incentives, it speaks to tip fee rebate. Do we also participate in that?
Yes.
Do we have a benefit from that?
Yes. It
says a fiscal year-end tip fee rebate is defined as a fixed per ton refund for MSW cap waste disposed in accordance, blah, 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 at the corporation's facility. This rebate is issued to those municipalities that qualify based on the following recycle percentages according to the actual recorded tonnage delivered. So that really has nothing to do with profit or loss on their part. That has a lot to do with, what they're receiving from us. So do we participate, or have we received ever a tip fee rebate?
We have. If you meet the benchmark for recycling, then yes, you get a tip fee rebate typically on your August bill of the following year.
It's what, please, I couldn't hear that.
We do get one. It's usually, if we get one, you have to meet certain benchmarks for recycling. I think it's 20, you have to be 25% or more of recycling rate. If you meet that benchmark, then you get a tip fee rebate on your August bill of the following year.
And do we normally meet that benchmark?
We normally do. We did not receive it last year, but typically, yes.
Why do you think we didn't receive it or meet it last year?
Probably just because we had, you know, our recycling program. Our residents weren't helping us with the recycling. Maybe, I'm not really sure. It could have been the rejected loads, because when they reject a load at the MRF, it goes into trash. And then, so that sure. Obviously brings down whatever.
So if, as an example, if some of our constituents, if they commingle some stuff into the recyclables and it's considered, I guess, contaminated or something, that kind of gets booted out, right? And that has a negative impact on us?
Only if the materials in the recycling are not recyclable. So any sort of like plastic bags, any sort of metals, pots, pans, that type of thing, if they throw it in the recycle bin, it's not a recyclable material. You can throw paper and cardboard and plastic together, but it has to be a recyclable material. And there's plenty of material. I think on the city's website, there were magnets, some other things. So there's a lot of even Resource Recovery's website tells you exactly what you can and can't recycle, as well as our calendar.
Yeah. Christy, so that all of us, so that we can help our constituents to avoid what I call contaminating, the recyclables. Obviously, that has a negative impact on us if we can't meet our goals, our percentages. Do you have a list that you could send to us that speaks to don't do this, don't do that, don't do this in the recyclables? Because I know I'd be more than happy to send that off to my constituents and the local associations to try and help get better participation.
It is all in the back of the calendar, all that information of what's recyclable, what's not. It's on the city website.
Okay.
As well as Resource Recovery's website. And we may have some pamphlets in the office. I'm not entirely sure if we have any left or not, or there might be some in sanitation. We can certainly look into that. But it's widely available even without the pamphlets.
Yeah, people are not going to go on the website to see what goes in the recyclables. They just don't do it. So if you have a pamphlet like that, let me know. I'd be happy to stop by and pick it up. But I definitely want to reach out to my constituents and try to educate them as to, what they can do to help with this, because I'm sure it can amount to, a fair amount of money. So with this rebate, this tip fee rebate, when we get that or when we qualify for it, and if and when we qualify for that MRF profit share, where does that money go?
The tip fee rebate comes off our invoice for the month of August if we get it.
Okay, so they'll issue you a credit at the end of August?
In the August bill.
And that would be effective as of the June 30th contract dateline?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have in that. And again, Christy, if you have something that you could send, that'd be great. If not, if you've got this pamphlet at your office, just shoot me a text and I'll be happy to stop by and pick it up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt.
Councilman, just a quick note. The administration, the mayor's office, put together a video that they shared on social and things of what's recyclable and not. So I'll send you a link to that, too, in case you want to share that through your channels.
Thank you. That'd be good. You know, once again, I'm fairly certain that most people, you know, are not browsing the website to find out about what's good recyclable, what's not good recyclable. So I just want to do my part to send it off to. I have like four associations in my ward, and I'm sure they'd be happy to, you know, share that information. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd also just like to chime in that it really is important for our constituents to know what can and can't be recycled. And I've actually used a tool, the online tool myself, to look up what can and can't be recycled on the RIRRC website. So it's a bit of a mouthful to get to the website, but what I do is I just type in a search engine, RIRRC, which stands for Rhode Island Resource Recovery Corporation, RIRRC, recycling lookup. That gets me, the first result takes me right to that website, and it's actually really user-friendly once you get there. Of course, that's not always going to necessarily solve all problems, because oftentimes the people who have the most mix-ups with their recycling are the ones who are most incredibly confident, overconfident in what can and can't be recycled before or without looking it up. Just very briefly, I saw on Facebook the other day that one of my constituents was incredibly overconfident that diapers could be recycled and was criticizing the DPW for not picking up the diapers that they were throwing in the recycling. I think that most of us understand that diapers can't be recycled, but these things apparently happen. And so, you know, it's incumbent on all of us to figure out what can't be recycled. Hopefully most of us wouldn't actually need to look up that particular item to get the result. But, you know, we all have questions on some of these different items. I wasn't sure, for instance, if cardboard pizza boxes nowadays can be recycled. And of course, then there are different items where you see the recycling logo with a little number, and then you understand that, okay, well, just because it could be recycled in one jurisdiction doesn't mean it could necessarily be recycled in Rhode Island. And the website is really good on a lot of those niche answers to give a definitive answer quickly one way or the other. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Comments? Thank you. Any questions, comments from members of the public? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. That concludes the high-value items. And at this time, I'm going to go to the committee, the council, and then the public to pull items from the bid calendar for discussion. Are there any items from members of the committee that would like to have pulled for discussion? Thank you. Are there any items from members of the council that they would like to have? Mr. President.
Thank you. Number four, 2023-389, on page 38.
Thank you. Are there any others, Mr. President?
That's it for me.
Thank you. Are there any other items members of the council would like to have pulled? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Item number two, if found on page 11, 2023, 386.
Yes, sir. Item number two, traffic crash reconstruction course. Yes, sir.
Item number five, 2023, 387, found on page 41.
Purchase and install pressure washer on page 41. Thank you.
And item number seven, 2023-010, post type fire hydrants, found on page 47. And just bear with me a minute. I had a note for item three. Let me take a look at that quickly.
Certainly. While the councilman looks, are there any items that the members of the public would like to discuss? Any items that the members of the public would like to discuss? Are there any items members of the public would like to discuss? Hearing them, Councilman Lattisaw.
Chairman, I'm all set with
thank you.
Number three.
So we'll go in order, as mentioned. So we'll begin with bid number two, which is bid 2023-386, traffic crash reconstruction course online. That's found on page 11. Major, please introduce yourself, department.
Good evening, Andy Sullivan, Major, Warwick Police Department.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
I got to kind of deflect the sun out of my eyes here. So at the end of this session, is there a test that's actually given on this, a written test?
They do have to successfully pass all the portions of the modules along the way to continue on and complete the course in its entirety. So yes, there is.
So each module, there's actually a written test?
I don't know about a written test, but they are tested out ultimately for to successfully complete this program.
So how do they test it? I mean, what's the basis for passing or failing?
That I don't know. It's meeting a minimum criteria on the material that's instructed along the way.
Okay. And what happens if an officer misses any of the training sessions or the classes?
Well, it's somewhat self-guided in the sense that it's a certain amount of hours per week for a 10-week period, 8 hours, so it's plenty of time. We don't anticipate any issues with anybody falling behind, but if that is, that's between them and the instructor, and I'm sure they do have a little bit of leeway because they understand the nature of the job. The women and men and women can get preoccupied with unforeseen matters, so they will accommodate to a certain extent.
And these courses, are they taken in the police station or can they be taken anywheres?
These will probably be done on site in the station. They may work individually. They may do the course in a group setting. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much preference on their part. And then they just continue.
I know I just had to complete 2.5 hours of continual education courses to renew my contractor's registration. And the criteria for that is such that, A, you have to have your camera on so that the administrator can monitor the entire 2.5 hours. If you have to take a break, restroom break, or whatever, you need to notify the administrator if your camera is going to be off. And you must sit through the entire training session. Those same guidelines apply here?
Yes, this one's a little different in the sense that the instructors are available throughout the time period, but it's not live per se at a set time. Okay. During, yes. So it's somewhat self-guided. The 8 hours each week is self-guided, and the instructors are available via phone or email or
okay,
any other interface to answer any questions or provide assistance.
And how many classes does this entail? I know it goes from April 3rd to June 11th. How many classes or modules do they actually take during this time?
So I believe it's one each week, or one each 8 hour block. Okay. Is a different module. And this is phase three of accident reconstruction. Mm-hmm. At the completion of this course, these four officers will be fully certified now in accident reconstruction.
Okay. Just bear with me 1 minute. Okay. So further on in the description, actually, it's right here. Sorry. It says 80 hours is what's called for. In the end, on page 23 of the documents that we have here, it says, for Florida officers, this course will not qualify for salary incentive credit. Does or do our officers qualify for salary incentive credit for taking this course?
No, this has no bearing on any salary.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Major. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions on this bid from members of this committee? Any further questions on this bid from members of the council? Further questions on this bid from members of the public? Further questions on this bid from members of the public? Thank you. Next up will be bid 2023-389, replace unit heaters at Thayer Warburton Arenas. This is found on page 38. Good evening, Christy. If you wouldn't mind identifying yourself again.
Christy Moretti, Public Works Business Manager.
Thank you so much. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Christy. Christy, the rink is very popular. We always receive calls on that, so I was just hoping you could outline this for us. You're replacing the heaters. You have some going on, but it has an effect on everything in there, correct?
It does. We actually use the heaters for the most part year-round. We just did have two replaced in the back rink. There were no heaters working back there out of the four that are installed. So we do have two heaters back there right now that are working. The other two will be of this will be for that facility, and three will be put in the front rink. And we do use it year-round. Obviously, it keeps the ambient temperature for people a little bit more comfortable, but particularly during the summer months when it's humid outside, it allows us to dry out the buildings a little bit. It's not, you know, it's not dehumidification, but it does help some. In a perfect world, we'd have a dehumidification system. So for us to get these replaced is relatively important that we do it sooner than later.
Do they usually fail all at the same time like this, or is it just bad luck?
I think when the rink was rehabbed 20 years ago, all of this stuff was new, and obviously 20 years later, it's all starting to fail. So it's kind of like the same, you know, they're all twins, so to speak. You know, one goes and then one more goes, and so they have cracked heat exchangers, and they had to be turned off because they were condemned. Once we had somebody look at them to find out what the issue was, they legally had to shut them off. We couldn't keep them running, so here we are.
So the ones that are still working right now, they're kind of working overtime now, correct?
Yeah.
On that, so. All right, thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are there any further questions, comments from members of this committee? Members of this committee. Comments, questions from members of the council. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. In addition to the heat exchangers and these particular heaters, is there anything else wrong with those heaters?
I don't have specific details right now, but when the heat exchangers crack, it leaks carbon monoxide, so you can't run them. And the heat exchangers themselves, even if we were to replace them, are probably half the cost of a new unit. So in this case, it makes more sense for us to replace the units because the rest of the unit itself is old. So as far as, you know, is the shell good? Maybe, but the internals are well past their serviceable life.
I ask because I am familiar with heat exchangers. I have those type of units on one of my commercial properties. Actually, I have several of them on one of my commercial properties. And in one case, the unit was well over 40 years old, and the heat exchanger cracked and doing exactly what you said with the discharge of carbon monoxide. But it was a lot cheaper to replace the heat exchanger as opposed to replacing the entire unit, because the rest of the unit was fine. It was the heat exchanger that was cracked. So my question is, knowing that, has DPW gotten an estimate for replacing just the heat exchangers? First part of the question. And second part of the question is, have you gotten an opinion from the company that's going to, or potentially going to do this work regarding the condition of the rest of the unit?
This company is our HVAC company that we have under contract. Had I known prior to that you had these questions, I would have reached out to them and asked them for more information regarding the condition of the units, but they have deemed them, they've condemned them, and they can't be turned back on. If that's something that you're interested in, you know, obviously the request through the mayor's office, we'll see what kind of information we can get for you, but their recommendation is that these units be replaced.
Well, Christy, you just, again, said if you would have known before the meeting. I would expect that it's your responsibility, it's DPW's responsibility to get the answers to these questions. I should not have to tell you or request for you, your department, to get the answers to these questions. These are things I would expect your department, or any other department for that matter, to be asking these questions. These are pertinent questions for spending taxpayer dollars. It's, I think, very important to know, do we need to do anything more than replace the heat exchanger? Do we need to replace the entire unit? Is there anything else wrong with the unit? I shouldn't have to make a phone call to anybody and suggest that you get these answers to these questions before this comes to the city council. Sorry. So the answer is we don't know. It also says in here that, note, price based on normal business hours, city to provide lift. Do you know if the city receives a waiver from the company that's going to be using our lift? Do you receive a liability waiver from the entity, what is it, D. Lawson, that's going to be using our lift to exempt us or eliminate us or protect us from liability should anyone get hurt while they're using our lift for any reason, defective, problems, whatever? Do we get a release from the company assuming full responsibility for their employees and having the city receive a hold harmless agreement? Or do we just let them use our lift and hope that nothing happens?
This vendor has liability insurance as well as vehicle insurance and all the items that they're required to have prior to being awarded a bid. The reason we let them use our lift is because if we don't, it's going to cost us additional money. So no, they don't sign a waiver to use our lift. However, they are insured as well as the city. So we don't see a problem with them utilizing the lift in the effort to save the taxpayers a little bit of money.
So because they have liability insurance and whatever else, that does not necessarily mean that they have insurance to protect an employee should they be hurt on one of our pieces of equipment. Should that lift have any type of malfunction, any type of defect that causes the operator injury, their liability insurance, I don't think, is going to cover that. So we can say, well, this is saving the taxpayers a lot of money because they don't have to go out and rent the lift. I know what it costs to rent the lift. I've done it numerous times. And when I do, there's certain insurances that they require for that or sign-offs to do that. So what I'm hearing is that the city is willing to assume any potential liability if someone is hurt while using our lift, because they're going to potential, where the taxpayers are potentially going to save money. Director, do you want to weigh in on that? No. Okay. So is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not saying that the city's taking responsibility for anything. You asked a question. I gave you the answer as to why. And, you know, everyone has insurance. If that's not acceptable, I don't really know what.
No, Christy, no, it's not acceptable because you don't know what the insurance is. And we don't know if we are held harmless if an operator gets injured on that piece of equipment that we are providing. I know I don't let anybody up on my equipment, on my stagings, when they're on my jobs. They're going to use their own stuff, or they're going to give me a coverage protection for it, or they're going to give me a hold harmless agreement before they get up on my staging. And that's what I'm asking, if we have that. Because if we don't have that, what I'm suggesting is we could potentially have a liability. And I just want that to be on the record, that everybody realizes there could potentially be a liability.
Larson employees would be covered under their workers' comp insurance policy should one of them get hurt.
They would be covered under workers' comp, correct. I'm very familiar with workers' comp. I actually was one of the lobbyists that passed the coverage under law for workers' comp. That does not negate the liability or potential liability to the city, which falls to the taxpayers, if someone gets injured on a piece of equipment that we have provided them. I'm done with the comments, Mr. Chairman. I'm done with the questions. Just let the record will indicate that I have put that question out there and I have made that known to the administration. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. Next is bid 2023-387, purchase and install a pressure washer. This is found on page 41. Christy, if you wouldn't mind, please just reintroduce yourself.
Christy Moretti, Public Works Business Manager.
Thank you so much. Councilman Lattisor.
Bear with me 1 minute, please.
This is purchase and install a pressure washer.
No, I understand. I was going to the page that I have the question on. So on page 42 of our document, which is from Director Earls, it says the current unit is approximately 20 years old and is severely damaged from freezing. How does this item, this piece of equipment, how did it get severely damaged from freezing?
This pressure washer is housed in a brick building, for lack of a better word, with an overhead door. And there is a small heater in that facility as well. But when the door is not shut properly or all the way, if at all, and the temperatures drop well below freezing, then we have severe damage.
Is this pressure washer used during the winter?
Yes.
It is. For the vehicles, cleaning the vehicles and stuff?
Yes.
And when the pressure washer is returned to the building, wherever it's being stored, is that unit thoroughly flushed out? Is the water drained out of it? Are the lines blown out? Or is it just put in the building?
It's a stationary pressure washer.
Stationary.
And it's used year-round, so it's not flushed out. We use it all the time.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? Members of the public. Bid 2023-010, post-type fire hydrants. This is found on page 47. Good evening, Director. Please identify your name, title, and department.
Terry DiPetrillo, Chief of the Water Department.
Thank you. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Director, could you just define for us what unprecedented circumstances mean? In your cover letter, it says the department finds itself in an unprecedented circumstance. Could you just define that for us, please?
Absolutely. So when we say unprecedented circumstances, it's the lack of availability on fire hydrants and parts. So that's, we're requesting an additional $24,000 in spending authority.
I'm sorry. Could you please, Director, speak up? Thank you.
So I repeat. So unprecedented circumstances, lack of availability of fire hydrants and parts. We're requesting an additional $24,000 in spending authority to stay ahead of the curve to make sure we have the availability in stock. Just last week alone, three fire hydrants were hit by cars. So there's no forecast on, you know, when we're going to need them, how many we're going to need, but we like to stay ahead of the curve. We're doing pretty good right now, but right now there's an opportunity to get some more to stay ahead of the curve, and that's why we're requesting an additional $24,000. And when fire hydrants do get hit by cars, we seek full restitution through the insurance companies.
Okay. And what do you have in spending authority left right now?
$25,000. Originally, that bid was $65,000. We're down to $25,000. We're pressing to spend an additional $24,000. We have an opportunity right now to secure some more fire hydrants and parts.
So essentially, what you're looking for is to increase your spending authority to bring on available inventory of pots and components and fire hydrants because of the difficulty in, or potential difficulty in, getting these particular items. Is that right?
Correct. We went down to two fire hydrants for 6 months in basically no parts because we just couldn't get them. Now things are starting to get a little better. It's still a 6 month lead time. But if we have the ability to spend this another $24,000, secure it, make sure we have it, we'll be healthy.
And that's not to say that you're going to have to spend that additional $24,000. You're looking for spending authority up too.
That's correct, Councilman.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'm all set, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions, comments from members of the committee? Questions, comments from members of this council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Question, comments from members of the public? May I have a motion on the full consent calendar vote?
Move favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all. Moving on to the Finance Committee agenda. May I have I will make a motion for acceptance of the minutes for February 27, 2023. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye.
Abstain.
Thank you. I will make a motion for favorable action for the minutes of February 6, 2023. May I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I will make a motion for favorable action for the meeting, Finance Committee meeting held on January 30th, 2023. May I have a second?
Second.
May I have all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I will make a motion for favorable action on the minutes for January 18th. May I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The time is now 5:40. The Finance Committee is closed.
I just have a procedure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee is the Ordinance Committee, and that will start at 6 p.m. We will see you back here at 6 o'clock.
Acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on February 6, 2023. Do we have a motion?
Move to accept.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Next, we have acceptance of minutes from the meeting on February 27th, 2023. Do we have a motion?
Move to accept.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
And next, we have PCO2-23, an ordinance to prohibit parking on either side of Pilgrim Parkway on school days between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. This is Councilman Foley. This would be second passage. Request for favorable action. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action. Second passage.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That concludes ordinance at 6:01 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the Public Safety Committee, and that can start at 6:10. So we will see you back here at 6:10. Safety Committee meeting is called to order. It's 6:10. First item of business is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on February 6th.
Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 30-23, resolution relevant to the claims. The first item of business is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on February 6th.
Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
There we go. All right.
The first claim is for Anthony Alia. Pothole hit a pothole. The recommendation is to... let me get my order again. I'm sorry. To approve in the amount of $300. Any questions from the committee? Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I reviewed this one. It looks like when the application initially came in, there was an issue with the notarization. It appears that that has been corrected. And so everything here does appear to be in order. That's all.
Comments from the council. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. I just would like to say that the reviewing this bid, I respectfully request favorable action on this request, seeing that the department also approved it and the constituent turned in all the required paperwork on time. Thank you.
Any other members of the council? Any members of the public? Any members of the public? Any members of the public? Do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second is for Joe Pignatelli. Same thing, hit a pothole. The recommendation is to approve in the amount of $300. Any comments from the committee? Councilman Ricks.
Similarly, reviewed this. It appears that everything is in order. This is not a constituent of mine, but I'm also familiar with that area of Sand Pond Road. And yes, those are some car eating potholes on over there, or at least before they were recently patched. So I'd allow the chair to proceed with comments from other members of the committee and the council, but I see everything in order here.
Thank you. Any other members from the committee? From the council? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. Just once again, you see that the department recommended approval for this claim for the, in the situation of Sand Pond Road, that is in my ward. This is also a resident of the city of Warwick that put in the claim, did all the paperwork correctly. So I respectfully request the committee consider favorable action. Thank you, Chairman.
You're welcome. Members of the public, any comments from members of the public? Comments from members of the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Third item is Angela Tolgen. And this has been recommended to not approve, but the reason that they gave is the date, the 7-day notice. I do not think that is the reason to reject this. The incident is the 9th. This paperwork is dated the 19th, but that Monday, the 16th, was Martin Luther King Day. So the 19th would technically be the 7th day. However, I read the paperwork, the documentation supporting this, and I noticed that they did get reimbursed $1,865 from their insurance company. I further read on, and the letter from the claimant states in there that they hit the pothole and a tire was damaged. The excessive expense is because they were recommended to replace all 4 tires, even though the other 3 were not damaged. And for that reason, I side with the department's suggestion or recommendation to deny the claim. I just wanted to put that out there for my colleagues. Any other members of the committee would like to speak to this? Councilman Ricks.
I completely agree with your assessments. One tire was blown as a result of this. I can understand why a person may want to replace the other 3 tires at the same time, but that doesn't mean that it should be done on the city's dime.
Member of the council.
Councilman Latta, sir.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I don't disagree with what you stated with your regard to your position on this, but could you review your comments with reference to the time, to the dates?
Okay. Yes, not a problem. If we look at the form, for me, it's the backside of page 1.
Okay.
To the Honorable City Council, if you look where it says the date of the incident, 1-9.
Yes.
On the very bottom, the signature of the claimant is 1-19. In their recommendation to deny, they said they had missed the 7-day window. 7-day business day is what we've always gone by. So you have a weekend that's in there, and then that Monday prior to the 19th, January 16th, I believe to be Martin Luther King's birthday. So that's all I was pointing out, that it really was within the 7 days.
Okay, so, you know, I don't know if we differentiate between business days and calendar days. I think it's calendar days. But I'd also point out that the DPW states they did not receive this claim until January 26th. That's 2 weeks later when they received it. So I guess my question is, how do we go with the 7 days? Is it 7 calendar days or 7 business days?
I believe in the past, it does not clearly state in the state law that we refer to. If you look at, as required by Rhode Island General Law 24.835, it refers to 7 days from the date of the incident. It doesn't say business nor calendar day. We have always given the constituents or the citizen the benefit of the doubt and gone with, in my tenure on this committee, that it's business days. Just giving them the benefit of the doubt. that's almost a moot issue for this, because that's not why I'm asking it to be denied anyways. I think the preponderance of other information makes it so that we should only be, we, the city, only liable for one tire, not four.
Right.
Yeah, really.
No, I mean, again, I agree with you. And also, they're stating further down that they're intending to seek compensation from a source or sources other in addition to the city of Warwick.
Right.
But I think now that this topic has been broached, whether or not it's business days or calendar days, I'd like to have an opinion from the solicitor. So we have something from our solicitor going forward to have a set policy.
Thank you, Councilman. The 24.835, which is the state law that limits the liabilities regarding, it says 7 days. If it's not explained otherwise, it's the plain meaning of what a day is. So the baseline would be 7 calendar days.
So it'd be 7 calendar days.
That said, as we all experienced over the last few years, there was, whether it was through COVID or others, there was reasons why legitimately it was tough to meet normal protocols. So there was always some deference given to accommodate the situations we were in. But the technical black letter of the law is calendar days.
So I would suggest that, you know, we come up with, you know, what the rule is going to be so that no one can say, you know, we, you know, subjectively enforced or didn't enforce from 7 calendar days to 7 business days. I think there should be a consistency when we're making these determinations of time. Did they come within the time frame? And our city councilor, solicitor, just said it's 7 business days. So I don't care which way you want to go. I'm sorry, calendar days. I don't care which way you want to go, but I think that we should make it clear which way we will go. Is it calendar days or is it business days? Of course, there's always going to be an exception, such as COVID, or I don't even know if a holiday comes into play, because calendar days are calendar days.
Thank you for your input. Appreciate it.
So what does that mean?
I'm going to ask the city solicitor for something in writing that we can base it on in the future. But like I said, for this issue,
right?
I don't think
I agree. Need.
Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Councilman Sinapi.
So just the disclaimer here is, first, I think you're right. There's other reasons to deny this anyway. One thing I'm curious on is how we handle when things are filed, when the forms online say not to submit unless you have the estimate, but we're also saying you have to submit within 7 days. And in this person's case, allegedly, they couldn't get an estimate within 7 days. But if they're following what our instructions are saying, then they don't submit, and then they actually block themselves per the rest of our instructions. So I don't know if that's something we want to look into down the line, as far as somehow making it clear that if you can't get an estimate within 7 days, still submit the darn thing and then get us the estimate subsequently. But again, for the purpose of this claim, I don't think it matters, because there's plenty of reason to deny elsewise.
Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Comments from the public? Comments from the public? Comments from the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
I move to, I believe that we would need to schedule it for a further hearing to give the claimant an opportunity. So let's see, we would move for a hearing to be, say, the first meeting of April.
All right. So we're getting a PCR for it, which would be louder.
3123.
And held till.
Yes. Hold to April
3rd.
April 3rd. Thank you.
Do we need to take a vote on that? No. Lynn?
So do we have a motion?
To hold to April 3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Is that the end of it? I'm missing something. Yeah, I know. Here we go. I'm sorry. We're back to item 2, PCR 1923A, a resolution in regards to erecting three-way stop signs at the intersection of Edison Street and Moore Street. For a second. Do we need to, do I need to move the claim, PCR 30-23? No. Move PCR 30-23. No, okay, thank you. For action, Councilman McElroy.
I move favorable action. I have a favorable traffic study.
Anyone else on the committee wish to speak? Members of the council wish to speak? Anyone in the public wish to comment? Anyone in the public wish to comment? Anyone in the public? Hearing no one, we have a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The Public Safety Committee ends at 6:24.
Intergovernmental.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the Intergovernmental Committee, and that can take place at this time.